trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me.
Hello, everyone. This is the last episode, the last official episode, for a while anyway, of Rendell's Ravings, episode 200. At least by my math, and my math's the only one that counts, so chaos is in the chat room. I have no clue where pasta is, but that's okay. So I basically warned everybody of that. Today was going to be what I consider the last episode for the indefinite future, because I just have gotten tired of it. It's not fun anymore. So, I mean, I can't even bring myself to get prepared anymore. You know how bad that gets. When you can't prepare for something that you've usually had no trouble preparing for, it's time to get out, because it's not worth it at that point. So, but I'm still going to be doing podcasts. Like I said last week, I've got a possible Ring of Honor one. Thinking of calling it Rendell's ROH Review. And I might start that tonight. I don't know. There's a really good match on tonight that I want to see with the Embassy taking on, I think it's Rashke Brown, the Dark City Fight Club. I can't remember who the other one. There's four. It's four against four, and I can't remember who the fourth is on their side. But I love the Embassy. They're a great heel stable, so I'm really looking forward to that. And it's not going to be anything big. It's going to be basically a review of the TV show and whatever news is going on this week. This week it's that their champion Tyler Black has signed with the WWE, which a lot of people are mixed on. It's a good move for him financially. There's no way ROH can compete financially. That's just not possible. However, creatively, fulfillingly, I don't think it's such a good move. They have a lot more independent in the freedoms, or in the independence, and it's just, I don't see him being happy there. So, and everybody's like, well, give him 2 months and he'll be back. No, because they have a 90-day no-compete clause, which means it'll take almost half a year, even if he lasts 2 months, to be back in ROH again. And look what happened with Bryan Danielson. They thought that he was going to be coming back when they got let go, and just before he would have even had the possibility, they signed him again. So it's like, it's not going to happen, most likely. Not quickly. I just hope that I'm wrong and everybody's wrong, and he not only gets the money, but he gets the freedom to be who he is. Because he's a good guy. He's not the best on the mic, but he's a good wrestler. So he would be somebody that would have benefited in the 80s and even in the 90s, because they still had managers then. There aren't any managers right now. So it's like, you know, a lot of people like him who are really good in the ring but not so good on the mic are kind of floundering because there's nobody to help. So, I don't know. We'll see. And I'm guessing that with as hard as it is to keep up with news, excuse me, with as hard as it is to keep up with ROH news sometimes, it's not going to be much more than a TV/pay-per-view review, which I've done one already. I did a review of the April 3rd pay-per-view. And I like that, and that's kind of the thing that got me into it. So I'm like, well, we'll see. Finite Exposure is live on Reapsol Radio Wednesday, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific. That's Chaos and I, and I have, as far as I know, there's no plan to stop that one. I've gone out, I've done it at Chaos's place, he's come over and done it at my place, it works well either way, so that's really not an issue. Bozo Criminal Report is one that I do usually Monday to Friday. It's not long, it's like 2 minutes, but it's on It's basically whenever the Bozo Criminal site is updated, then I'll read the update and maybe put a thought in or two. But that's, it's just something to keep me going. It's something to keep me fresh with podcasting. It's a reason Monday to Friday to get up, hit the record button, and do something. But those are the podcasts I'm affiliated with. Greetings from Nowhere. I still highly recommend Greetings from Nowhere with Nicole and Christina. And I'm a couple behind, actually. I didn't realize I'd fallen behind. There were three that I hadn't heard. I hadn't heard episode 21, and I haven't heard 23 or 24. So I've got those... My cell is shut off. Well, it doesn't make any difference, Chaos. You were still online, and I have no time or gas to get you, so I couldn't have done it. I was assuming Pasta was going to, and Pasta isn't here either, so... And I'm in here now, so if he comes and knocks on the door, I can't answer it because I'm not there. Pasta's had a rough time. He's had lots of changes at work, so I think that might have just been that he's still... correcting for his change in work shift, which is fine. I've been through that many times, so I know how it is. But Greetings from Nowhere is Nicole and Christina. I have 23 and 24 to listen to, but like I've been saying, if you want to get into it, they're about an hour long, but there aren't many of them. Take a couple of days and you'll be all caught up. They're very fun to listen to. They're very smart, very well-spoken people. And one thing I learned that I hadn't learned, but this is because it basically happened while I was on vacation, apparently Around the World in 80 Days is back on again. It's going to be starting auditions and such. She's going to start it after The Haunt, which is really cool. I like that. And it's supposedly going to be done in February. I have no clue where. I haven't listened to... okay, well, keep trying, Kate. I mean, it's. I can't do anything now. So, but, yeah, if you can find out where he is, please do. Talking about Pasta. That's how I found out my cell had been shut off. Yeah. But, yeah, they've... apparently, it's going to be put on in February. And this is something that I heard from Cynthia... when we were talking, when I was talking to her after the drama about, oh my God, you know, they've chosen these two things or whatnot. She said one thing she didn't get is why they had 3 months of rehearsing. And honestly, I couldn't figure it out either. Although I kind of got a hint of it during Sherlock Holmes. And that was that life basically throws you a curveball. If we tried doing Sherlock Holmes rehearsing in the time period that, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, it never would have worked. We needed the extra time because we had a lot of problems come up during the show and during rehearsal. And that's basically what Christina said. She says she likes doing 3 months because that Mission Creek is not professional. Mission Creek is people who come in when they're done with work and do theater. So it's not a professional thing, it's a voluntary thing, which means you can't expect them to be on call, to be able to put in 5 days a week. Two or three, okay, but not five. And I think we had three. Chaos, I don't know if you remember. It was Monday, what was it, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday? Or Monday, Thursday, and Friday? It was 3 days, and I think we did Sunday. But it was a 4-day week, three during the week, and one during the weekend. And that worked. That worked really good. That's my other cell phone. What the hell is that? I was wondering what that was. What is that even doing on? I turned that off. No, That ain't it either. I keep hearing this sound. Low battery warning. You know what? Good for you. So we're going to pull the battery as soon as I can figure out how. So, okay, well, that's no big deal. I kind of figured that. But thanks for the heads up, Chaos. Pasta's not going to be able to make it. And that's fine. You know, I would like to see him get into our finite exposures a couple of times. But I would like to audition for Around the World in 80 Days, especially since most of it is going to be done in January and February. And at that point, officially, I will have nothing to do because there will be no Mission Creek players. There will be, but we won't have anything. I think this is still being sponsored by Mission Creek. And I'm pretty certain most of the players will be involved, so we might as well call it Mission Creek. It's just that she has gone out and she's found a venue. I'm assuming on 23 or 24. I know it wasn't on 22 because that was the first I heard of it. But 23 and 24 will hopefully give me more details. It's, like I said, doesn't start auditions or anything. Don't start until November. So you've still got plenty of time. So I'm definitely going to be looking forward to that, though. I want to do that. I don't even care if I just get little walk-on parts, like what Mike was talking about me initially doing for Twelfth Night. You know, doing the little parts in the background, doing the extras. I don't care if I get that. That's fine. I don't need to have a speaking role. I know I'm still a virgin when it comes to acting. I've done one role. I did it well, apparently. I'm really proud of myself for that. But I'm not naive enough to think that now I can just go do any role. Okay, I'd like to do a couple of small roles. Make sure that I can do it. I don't want to keep hopping into the big stuff. Well, no, that's why I was saying, Chaos. We'll still be around. We just don't have anywhere to do anything at the moment. We've got a couple of ideas. Well, yeah, the board will still exist, but the board will be the only thing that's active, is what I'm saying. The board will be active, but there won't be anything for the board to do until we can get another location. That's going to be our primary goal if by December 31st we don't have another location. I'm betting pretty highly that we will. I think we'll have another location. I just don't know where it will be yet. There's at least one good possibility, though it is expensive, at least in the numbers that I know. Although, like I've said, and Cody's heard me say it, we should be well beyond the little dream of, oh my God, you know, we can go and we can get this and we can get that, and, you know, we can't anymore. We don't have that. We don't have an easy way anymore. Wherever we're going to be going, basically what I'm trying to say, wherever we're going to be going, we're going to be paying rent. There is no way out of it anymore. Because the one place we wouldn't have paid rent, or that what we weren't really paying rent, we just got kicked out of. And it wasn't their fault. They didn't want to do it. They had to. But now, because of that, we've lost our ideal spot. Now we're going to have to be budgeting in money for rent. Even if we get the one that we're talking about, the only lead that I've heard, when the person who referred me to it, they were renting it for commercial space, but they were charged $5,000 a month. Even if we pay 20% of that, that's $1,000 a month. That's $12,000 a year. Now, if we do really good with the haunt, we could do it, but we wouldn't be able to do much else. So it's one of those things, you know. And I don't know that anybody's even looked into any other place. I mean, I've checked around some of the storefronts. I've checked, you know, see what they are for space, but most of them are right on the main street, and they aren't. They're good size for a theater. Or at least a small theater. You could maybe get 40 or 50 people in there with a theater. Or with a stage. But you have nowhere to build. You have nowhere for props. You have nowhere for costumes, dressing rooms, makeup rooms, that kind of thing. So, really, we are going to need a storage warehouse or something along the lines, because we just have too much shit that we need to do in this one place. I don't know. I wish that this wouldn't have been a problem. It is a problem. It's not anybody's fault. It's the economy. So that's just, you know, what you do when it's the economy. There's nothing you can really do. Yeah, because I don't have anything going on, I'm going to take the first break here. I don't know that this will even be an hour. Like I said, I don't have anything. I just could not bring myself to do anything. So, I've got one topic, but that isn't much, so, you know, hey, I've been warning all you guys, it's been getting hard, and nobody's come forward with any ideas, so, the podcast has died down to the point that the plug's being pulled on it today, it's just not worth it anymore. This is a song I found going through my playlist. I don't know where it came from, I've never heard of the group before, I think I heard it in Second Life. It's by a group called Christian Death, called Angels and Drugs. It's very strange, but it just sounds kind of cool to me. So I'm going to give them some airtime. Here is Angels and Drugs.
Zoom.
like I said, I know I have it. I have no idea where it came from, when I got it, how I got it. It's a mystery. It's a nice song, though. I mean, the voices are a little hard to follow, but the background is very nice to listen to. It's very soothing to listen to. Wairu has come in, the host of Wairu's Warren, who I have a link for. And the longtime Ravings fan, who has put up with me for quite a long time. We're going to have to see if we can get you in the chat room on Finite Exposure, Wairu. It's Wednesdays 3 to 5, so it starts an hour later and it goes an hour later than this one does. And same place, so... the only thing I really had to talk about, and this is something that really irked me. There was a post on the Lost Angels forum. Somebody got their post locked. They were trolling. They didn't understand that's what they were doing. They were trying to figure something out. And so they wrote back a long thing saying this is this and that is that. And I'll be the first to say I didn't read it all. I was more looking to see if there was anything that I could help with. There wasn't, so I skipped down. I was going to read the comments. There was one comment by Raynon, who I want to bitch slap for this. It was four letters, TLDR. Too long, didn't read. Why did you respond then? If I was going to go off like that on something that I think I really needed help with, that's something that, you know, I'm just trying to get ideas on, and somebody posted that, I'd either A, delete it, or B, post right after it and ream them a new fucking asshole for wasting everybody's time. Because I don't get that, you know. Too long, didn't read, okay? You don't put that. You say, well, don't understand it, but hope it works out. There. That way you've contributed something. It wasn't completely, you know, helpful, but it was something. But yeah, too long, didn't read. In fact, I'm going to go back to make sure that I'm accusing the right person. I think it is Raynon. And I've really been biting my tongue on this one. Because I so much want to just bitch them out for being a complete fucker on the phone. And I know I'd be trolling. It's the whole reason I haven't. But you know what? This is my fucking show. They don't like it. They can take a piss up a rope. You piss me off, and I have my own podcast. Well, guess who's going to be the subject of that podcast? I don't know that this is going to all load, Cody. Move frame. Oh, I heard about this. Oh, no, I didn't. I thought it said bees. Oh, damn, that's the one thing I forgot. I forgot to do the gore news. Okay. I'm going to put a link in here to the specific, and Chaos, here's your homework for Wednesday. You absolutely have to watch the newest 2 Cents. This is an order. Okay, because I'm going to be talking about it, and I'm going to be bringing clips from it for Wednesday. And I want you to be able to get in on the jokes, because if you've seen it, we'll get back to the bullshit in a minute, because I got to find the post anyway. If you've seen it, then it is really, really funny. It's one of those deals where they have a thing on there called the Gore News, and usually it's pretty funny. Not, you know, not ha-ha funny, it's just like, oh my god, that's fucked up funny. So, where is it? Trying to find, tr- trying to find out where the post was. It's times like this I wish I would have posted it on there, because now I can't find it. And I'm not sure. Maybe somebody deleted it. I don't think so. So, God, this sucks. Anyway, they have a thing on there where they call the Jibba Broke Count. Yes, Wairu has heard it. I don't know, Wairu, have you seen 2 Cents 2.2? It's on Ustream now. It's a video podcast. They do it Saturday night, 7 p.m. Pacific. And it is just, it's really recommended. It is as good as it has been. Is it Rants and Raves? Maybe? I cannot find this. I feel like an asshole now, because now I can't make sure the one I'm talking about is right. Is there a latest posts? Like within the past 48 hours? Anyway. Yeah, I cannot find it, sadly. But anyway. So. Yes, so Wairu will know what I'm talking about. Warning, it's... Who are you? I can't... Your name... Oh, Brian! Hey, Brian! So, Wairu will know what I mean. They have a drinking game where if Jibba puts his hand on the desk, you take one drink. If Jibba goes to the left out of camera, to his left, your right, it's... two drinks. If he falls backwards or hides behind two, it's three drinks, and they made one because he did it. If he gets up and walks away, it's four drinks, and he did that. Or four shots. But he went off screen, and I was so glad I wasn't drinking at this time, because I watched him go, and I thought, oh, well, okay. Because I think they had a lizard that had run through at one point, and I thought maybe he just saw it again. And he left. Okay, whatever. So, next thing I hear is him just rip. He just starts laughing, I mean, and almost like shrieking. And two's just looking over him like, Jesus Christ, what the hell got into you? And he doesn't sit in his seat. He crawls back to his seat. He fell on the floor laughing and did not have the strength to get back up. So he crawled over to his chair, put his hand on the desk, kind of lifted himself back up. And that was before the Gore News, if I remember correctly. That wasn't the Gore News. That was before the Gore News. So, but they also had the lady who draws the art for the shows. She was actually there this week. So they talked to her for a bit, and she threw them one hell of a curve. But it was really fun to watch. But yes, Cody, it's only like an hour and a half. It's not much. But go watch the latest 2 Cents. I know you'll love it. So. Yes, at the top of 2 Cents, there's a running total, and Jibba got broken 16 times. So 16 shots, and 2 got broken 4 times. So you had a total of 20 shots that show in an hour and a half. That's like every 4 minutes somebody got broken. It was really cool. So, I want you to watch it, because I'm going to be playing at least the Gore News on that one. I want to play the Gordon News on finite exposure. So I'll be doing that. But yeah, too long didn't read. Basically, my thoughts on that. If you're going to be that fucking lazy, then don't post at all. That is not worth anybody's time, and it just pisses people off. Because it's like, okay, so you didn't read it. Why do you have to tell me? That's not something I need to know. So, but hey, people are assholes. We know that, so. Yeah, another break. here's the trio of Zero Punctuation Foamy talking about the long-lost art of the handshake, and Uncle Jay, whose word for this week is wedge.
I have a problem with driving games. I like them, but I'm terrible at them. It's the exact opposite to the problem I have with fellatio. It might be because I don't drive IRL, because I work from home and live in the city, and doubt I would find it easier to get around if I were 6 feet wide and constantly farting carbon monoxide. I don't know how your mum does it, but driving really fast speaks to something primal and instinctive in the human brain. Takes us back to those desperate times when a feeble-minded proto-human was putting the finishing touches to his new wheel, when he'd hear a charging mammoth tearing up the undergrowth behind him and have no choice but to leap astride his invention and speed down the valley slopes to safety. Yes, life was tough in Thatcher's Britain, but you know what might have made things even more exciting if the mammoth, the wheel, and the valley had all subsequently exploded. Which brings me to split-second velocity, or rather split-stroke-second, because that's how it's written. So what the fuck does that mean, Disney Interactive Studios? Split or second? Do we have to pick one? Or does the game alternate between being themed around standard units of time measurement and serving suggestions for bananas? Anyway, it's an extreme racing game. You do know the hyphen is the horizontal one, right? Look down, it's right next to the zero. I know it's hard to focus when Mickey Mouse is badgering you for results, but honestly. Anyway, it's an extreme racing game, with extreme in this case being pronounced while throwing up the horns and making a look on your face like you've just felt the onset of cardiac arrest. The game opens with the announcement that it's all a big fantasy and you definitely shouldn't try to recreate it, which gave me pause for thought, because to recreate it, you'd need a fleet of high-performance cars, several thousand tons of explosives, some ex-military helicopters, and your own private city. And I think if you're that rich, you're beyond needing video games for entertainment. You'd probably get your jollies by buying two poverty-stricken pregnant women and telling them that neither are getting out of the arena alive until one has eaten the other's fetus. The premise of Split Second is that you're taking part in a TV show that is the inevitable result of ratings-conscious producers, which combines the appeal of NASCAR and Saving Private Ryan. You are racing presumably against several people with terminal illnesses through a city that apparently nobody liked very much, bits of which are rigged to explode as you drive past them. And because it's set up like a TV show, a lot of the game communicates in the mysterious language of television. Instead of a campaign, it's called a season. Instead of a stage, it's called an episode. And at the end of each episode, there's a little preview of the next one, full of dramatic music and flashy edits. And that Zack Snyder thing where the camera goes really fast, then really slow, then really fast again, like the cameraman lost the manual to his electric wheelchair. All of which makes about as much sense as the episode recaps in Alan Wake. I already bought the game Split Second. You don't have to keep advertising yourself, unless your target audience is people with attention deficit disorder, who keep their TV in the same room as their disco ball collection, which frankly wouldn't surprise me. The unique gameplay selling point for driving repeatedly around in a circle is a technology that has been long perfected, is that if the racers in front of you are shaking their tailpipes at you ostentatiously, you can make a nearby structure explode like a cross between John McClane and Dick Dastardly and teach them humility. The problem with this as a strategy is that it's a lot more arbitrary than, say, just firing a great big missile from your car, but I guess there's considerably less deniability in that scenario. There's no guarantee you'll even hit an opponent, and the equal chance you'll blow your own stupid ass off the road. When I did hit someone, more than once, the subsequent burnout-style slow-motion close-up of my victory caused me to fail to notice a big fuck-off wall that was rushing up to make my acquaintance. And naturally, you're not the only one with access to the explosion's wishing well, and you can be in a solid first place for 3 laps, only for someone to drop a fucking cargo container full of rhinos on your head 10 yards from the finish line. Maybe we could just toss a fucking coin to decide the winner and all get to go home quicker, then we wouldn't have to blow up any more orphanages. There are a handful of other gameplay modes that are all variations on a theme of avoid things that explode, whether it be barrels falling out the back of a truck, or a helicopter firing missiles, or indeed a helicopter firing missiles that you could then deflect back at the helicopter like you're playing incredibly rich people's tennis. I think I figured this out. World peace must have been declared, and this is the method decided upon to short-sightedly use up all the military hardware while simultaneously keeping the public distracted from the machinations of the secret world government. There's 12 episodes with 6 events apiece, but the game producer's whips weren't long or painful enough to coerce more than a handful of level maps out of the designer, so the game constantly repeats. I guess it really is like a TV show. You'll revisit the same courses about 30 times before you even hit sweeps week, which which is fairly typical for racing games, but could you not have occasionally used the same map but with a different course? Even just run the same course but in reverse. I doubt any of the target audience would notice if you kept the flashing lights going or stuck up some tits on some billboards. At the end of the explosion-filled day, Split Stroke Second Colon Velocity has one idea that fails to hold it up. A thin crust of sugar over a tasteless creme brulee made of water and paste. The intention was presumably to base the game around spectacle, but after you've raced the same course for the third time and realised that it's always the same things exploding, then the spectacle becomes a testicle. After a while, I was driving on automatic, lulled into a hypnotic trance by buzzing motors and sweet drifts, surfacing momentarily to screech with rage whenever a random exploding car park cost me the lead. It's punishing success, that's what it is. Ayn Rand would be very upset. Too often, the outcomes of the races seem more dependent on luck than anything else. Plus, the flashy presentation is so blatantly designed to appeal to the very lowest of the cultural brows that I just can't shake the feeling that the mere act of touching the game kind of makes me a prick.
Handshake. Whatever happened to the handshake? You ever just meet someone, and when you go to shake their hand, they try to pull some fist-knocking, switchy-twitchy hand jive that most people would need a special class to train for? This shit is just nuts. Why can't people just give me a normal handshake? Huh? And I don't really buy into this knocking fists together bullshit either. Like when you go up to someone and they put out their fist mid-air and expect you to do the same so you can, you know, knock fists. Look, folks, I've seen monkeys do this on the Nature Channel, and I personally think we've evolved past this archaic form of greeting. Well, some of us have. Then there's the other neo-handshake, which is just utter nonsense. Like, when they go to shake your hand, they kind of pull you in and knock shoulders with you in a pseudo-manly hug sort of way. It's kind of like a tamer version of belly smacking the fan next to you in a football stadium. This is not manly and needs to stop. Stop it! I personally prefer the Japanese greeting. There's no physical contact, all you do is bow, life is simple. And since that's not going to become the norm in America anytime soon, can we at least get back to a normal handshake? And for those of you who actually do the traditional handshake, ease up on the hand crushing. Some of you out there are getting a bit overzealous with your handshakes. You shouldn't really have to measure your manhood by the extent of internal damage you've done to someone's hand after you've shaken it. Besides, making someone get reconstructive surgery does not leave the best of first impressions. That's all. Yeah. Shake hands.
Hey, boys and girls. It's time for Uncle Jay Explains the News. Now here's the guy who helps little minds understand big news stories. Uncle Jay.
Hi, boys and girls. Well, before we start, let's congratulate Brett Favre for coming out of retirement again to play football. He's now had about as many farewell tours as Kiss, so maybe after this season he can join that band, because he's always said he wanted the best. Okay, Uncle Jay's news word for this week is wedge. No, we are not going to talk about your pants. This word is used in politics, especially when elections are on the way, like now. Jobs, taxes, government spending, these are the great issues of the day that politicians wish they could be talking about, but unfortunately, time and again, other issues just kind of pop up and get in the way. And they're issues politicians can never do anything about, but they promise to fight for you about them. And they never win them. They only win elections. And that's how a wedge issue works, boys and girls. For instance, right now, there's a mosque, a proposed mosque, a proposed cultural center that is mere blocks from, three blocks from, two blocks from, just a few steps away from, in the shadow of, overlooking, next to, at the doorstep of, at the site, at ground zero, right at ground zero. Now, some people think that a mosque there, built by a religion that overreacts when it's offended and insulted, would be offensive and insulting. And they've reacted, thanks to the politicians who are taking a strong stand on this issue. It's a shame when distractions like this just seem to happen right before an election. And this is an important election. Will the Democrats hold on to their majority and keep on screwing up the country? Or will Republicans regain their majority and go back to screwing up the country? It's up to us to decide which politicians we want to trust. And now it's time to answer one of your news questions. This week it comes from Greg in New York. Hi, Greg. Greg writes, Dear Uncle Jay, I'm glad that our combat troops finally left Iraq because some of my friend's parents are over there. But with all the bombings and stuff still happening, do you think that war is really over? Thanks, Greg. Well, we are talking about the Mideast, where peace and war can sometimes be hard to tell apart. Plus, a lot of things in this world that might seem to be over, and that officially say they're over, and that people are more than ready to see be over, have a hard time staying over. So let's cross our fingers. Don't forget, you can see more at www.UncleJayExplains.com. Check back every Monday when Uncle Jay explains the news. And remember, a great kid is great news.
Bozo Criminal 4 today comes from Athens, Georgia, where Bozo Greg Thomas broke into an elementary school cafeteria. He set off a burglar alarm and was still inside rummaging around when the police arrived. Before they could catch him, our bozo ran through the back door, dropping his cell phone in the process. The cops couldn't catch up to him, but one of the officers had an idea. He picked up the phone, looked in the contact list, and called the number marked Ma. His mother picked up, and after the cop explained what was going on, she gave him her son's name and address. He is under arrest. Now, I talked about this on the... I already did the Bozo Criminal report for today. And here's the thought that really makes me shake my head about this. I can see robbing a bank. I can see robbing a store. I can see robbing, you know, like a hardware store. I can see robbing a place where something of value might be. Money, equipment, stuff like that. Cody, I got that one. Thank you. Oh, Jesus Christ. He's gonna have me looking at science stuff. I don't think I'm in the mood for science today. Anyway. What could you possibly have at a cafeteria, and especially a cafeteria, for an elementary school? I don't know what he could have been after. It's like, makes no sense to me, but then again, you know, who knows? That's something I think, it's one of the many things that our bozo criminals do that I'm just going to be very happy I don't understand.
Well, let me think about it. If, as an apparently non-corporeal universal concept, I can think.
Okay, the thought of the day is from Anne-Sophie Swetchin. To love deeply in one direction makes us more loving in all others. Maybe. I guess never really thought about it that way. Okay. The first link that Chaos provided me is apparently microbes from the city of Beer. Yes, there is a place called Beer, apparently. Survived in harsh temperatures in space. I guess they're looking to see if it's possible and... Jesus, what now? Oh, that's... Go ahead and drag it there on Wednesday. You'll have time to read it, and I'll have time to prepare myself for it, so... On this stuff, I'm reactionary. You know, I like listening to somebody explain it and then giving a reaction. I'm not really good at reading and reacting. So... It sounds very neat. They're now living in a laboratory on... Earth again. But they were in space for almost a year. And it's really, actually, that's really neat. What is it? 500 and some days. 553 days. So actually about a year and a half. But yeah, that's cool. Actually a little over a year and a half. About. That's cool though. I mean, because one of the things they've been talking about is if meteors crashed, they could have helped seed life, which I think is blatantly obvious that happened. I don't think it was any one thing. I think it was a bunch of things. I think that's why it made it so possible to happen, is so many things happen. It wasn't just A or B or C. It was all of them and then some. That's just me, though. Oh, Tiger Woods and wife divorced. Okay, click, next one. I Chaos mentioned that, and I'm like, well, what the hell am I supposed to think? I don't care. That's sports. He got caught with his dick and, like, several other women. Not my fault that he's a dumbass. So, hey, you know. I feel sorry if there are any kids. If there are any kids involved, I feel deeply sorry for them. I sure as fucking gonna feel sorry for the wife, because she's gonna make out like a bandit. And I don't really feel sorry for Tiger, because he's a household name. So, it's not like it's going to hurt him very much. Even if he doesn't get paid any more, he'll probably have like $50 million after all this. Okay? I can't feel sorry for him. I could probably safely live the rest of my life on $5 million. And he's got 50. Sorry. I'm trying. I can't do it. So, I'm saying God may have been, part of God may be a meteorite. If we're talking about God, i.e. the event that created man, yes, I think part of it was a meteorite. Yeah, I agree, because if I am, that's such a better theory than a lot of shit. I think it's a multitude of things. I cannot believe that any one thing did it. That doesn't make sense. Let me put it this way. If it was one solitary thing, I would not be surprised if we were the only intelligent life on Earth. That is just way too much, or in the universe, that is just way too much of a crapshoot. If it were a combination of things, then yes, there's got to be other life out there, because that's more things that you can have happen, and any two or three or any kind of combination can do it. That's better odds. Now, I'm not... One of the things that gets me is people are always like, well, if there's intelligent life, we would have found it. You're forgetting how old the universe is. Hey, cutie. That's literally the name in here. The universe is 13.5 billion years old. I'm sure lots of intelligent races have come and gone. No, I'm saying God, part of God is a meteorite. It's a little of a... I'll think about it more, and we'll talk about it next week when I can actually talk in response to you. But one of the things that really gets me well, of course we know Christians are horribly wrong. Come on. I will put it this way. I do not think it was some omnipotent an omniscient magician that waved their magic wand, said, a la peanut butter sandwiches, and here we all are. I don't buy that. So, could some advanced race have used various things to help seed the planet? You know, could they have deflected meteors from Mars that could have shot out into space onto Earth and, you know, monitoring the radiation and all that, and the oxygen levels and all that, could they have helped start it? Possibly. I'm not saying that's out of hand. But I just don't think that anybody waved a wand and here we are. I'm smart enough to know that that's not likely. So. And then you get in with the Sumerians and the slave race being here to mine gold, because that's what the Nibiru's atmosphere needed, apparently. That was part of their ozone, I guess. So, maybe that's the secret behind Fort Knox. I don't know. Nibiru? Correct me if I'm wrong, Chaos. I think it's supposed to be here in 2 years. I don't remember. Earth's not... Well, Earth is a little less than half. Okay. One of the things that I saw for the Big Bang on through the wormhole was that it was two membranes. This is going to, into M theory, for those of you who know what it is. It is basically... Well, I'll get on that in a second, Chaos. The thing that they think is that there are two membranes, or two universes. Hey, Dad! You're just in time for the metaphysical bullshit section of Rendell's Ravings. Basically, what I think happened, or what I'm leaning at happening, is there are two membranes and there's a space in between them. What happens is every so many, they're guessing a trillion years, they'll float through this ether, whatever it is, hit, and that hit will spark a big bang. And then they'll move out, and then a trillion years later they do it again. So the universe is cycling. But because of the way it's cycling and the time involved in the cycle, it's a fresh universe constantly. The universe in between one strike and the other is long gone by the time the second hit occurs. And I like that theory. I think that's a good theory. So, here's Chaos's thing. And like I said, we're going to definitely have to talk about this because this is a neat topic. That's getting close to the whole thought range that our sun is the center of the universe and the Earth is flat. Not really. Not if you go on the trillion-year cycle. And especially what I said before, we're in a timeline, okay? Just because we happen to hit, quote-unquote, early in the timeline, especially if it's a 1 trillion-year timeline, doesn't make any difference. I'm sure there have been hundreds of races before us. There will probably be trillions of races after us, and they're all going to appear at different parts of the timeline. We're fairly young if we're going on the trillion-year model. We're not even 1% of our age yet. So we're still a fairly young universe if this is the case. So looking at it from that way, yeah, it's just when we happen to be here. Okay, I'll go with the fact that the last trillion-year cycle started 13 or 14 billion years ago. But that would also go with your idea that the universe, the space of the universe itself is older. Because the membrane had existed long before that. This is just the current universe created on this membrane. But we'll talk about that. I want to talk about that for next week, so... Or for Wednesday, so write that down somewhere, that this is going to be a topic we're going to talk about. Because that's a good one. That's a really good one. I want to talk more about that one. I like that whole idea. Well, one of the things, too, that I always joked about, as far as the Big Bang, is we're telling the age of the Big Bang by how far back we can look. And my whole issue is that unless we look right at the second of the Big Bang, unless we get that lucky, we'll never know we found it. Because a bang is cylindrical. A bang goes out in all directions. Meaning, if we accidentally skip over the second that was the Big Bang, we'd never know it because we'll just start seeing the bang going out the other direction. So I don't think we'll ever get that powerful. I think we're down to within 300,000 years of it being born. I can't see us going much better than that. But when you get down to the micron and the microsecond of that event, which you're going to have to hit if you want to view it, if you are just off by so much, you're never going to see it because you'll skip from our side of the universe going out the other way. And if some parallel universe theories are correct, going out the other way, if you went the exact distance the other way, you'd see yourself looking back at you because another parallel Earth could exist out there just on the complete opposite side of our universe. Yes, I think about this problem quite a bit, so if you couldn't tell already. But, I'll say hi to Dad here quick. I'm not sure how much I'm going to talk anymore. In fact, I think I may just leave it out, but I'm going to play some music. This is by Dan Lesak and Scroobius Pip, who are a British kind of rap hip-hop duo. And it's called Get Better. Apparently they released another CD, and I didn't know it. It's called The Logic of Something. What is it called? Logic of Change. It was released in March. I don't know how I missed it, or I would have had it long before now. But, it looks like a really neat CD, so I'll be getting that. And this is the first single that came off of it. It was released in December. Again, I don't know how the hell I missed it. I would have been looking for this. Well, December. I know exactly how I missed it. I was involved in the theater. December was still Farndale, and March was True West. So I wasn't even thinking about it. Futurama covered what? That's curious. Did they cover the release? That would be cool if they did. Oh! For those of you listening on, which is Wairu and Chaos and Dad, there is a Reepso Radio tomorrow, 3 to 5, and they have a guest, and I can't remember what her name is, but I will get it here in a minute. But, and Chaos, you and I have to listen to this. On the 31st, oh, parallel, yeah, I can see Futurama doing the parallel universes. On August 31st, on Reepso Radio, they are having Mr. Deity. I am going to be there for Mr. Deity. I don't care. I love Mr. Deity. So, that is really... Let's see, events, because I actually made an event of this one. Angie the Anti-Theist is going to be on tomorrow. And 40 people are already signed up to show up. I know I'm one of them. So, let's see who else we can get over there, because I know it's going to be a fun show. They are just really good at putting on good shows. So, who knows? Maybe someday they'll be really bored and they'll have me and Chaos call in. I doubt it, though. Although, after today, I wouldn't be surprised. And Cutie left. Okay. So, I'm going to play Get Better. And then I'm going to play Jihad Jerry and the Evildoers with The Time Is Now. And I'll probably throw in a couple of other things. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just stop it. But we'll see. Yes, I may still post on this account on Rendell's Ravings at Podomatic. It's going to be reactionary stuff, topical stuff. It's not going to be a show. It's going to be an opinion. It'll probably be like Rendell's thoughts or something, which I did do for a little while. But it's not going to be anything set. So... But yeah, here's some music. Sit back and enjoy, and, oh, now that'd be cool. Futurama also covered some interesting time travel theories. Going so far forward in time that you end up traveling forward through your own past. That, my guess is that'd be a trillion year jump, and you just ended up seeing the reboot of you. Which would be kind of freaky in itself. But here we go. Here's some music. I'm going to log out. I need something to drink. And I'm just out of it. So listen again for the continuation on Finite Exposure, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific. And we'll pick up on the God theory and the beginning of the universe and time travel and all that cool shit that we were starting to cover now. Have fun.
Imagine a song that really reached out and touched kids, and not in a Daily Mail way. Innocence corrupted, but in a way where criticism remained constructive and wasn't too politicized, and children weren't instructed to behave in a way that was unrealistic or made out the way they lived was somehow sick and twisted, but simply pointed out reasons to get it together, not shouting get a job, but just saying that this is how it is, while I'm constantly amazed that this is how it is. They confuse love at first sight with lust at first light. It must have hurt, right, when trust first took flight. You're young, you've no rights, you long for new heights, but some of those nights do more than love fights. Tops crop, skirts stop at the top of their thighs, and the boys got that hungry look in their eyes. They want to be grown up and have respect, you see, but they're acting uneducated sexually. I ain't saying be celibate, go out and have your fun, but there's plenty you can do without impregnation, and there ain't nothing wrong at all with having children. Just build yourself a little before you try to build them, and get better, get better, get better, get better, get better, get better, get better. If you want them, you don't have to toe the line and just float with the flotsam. You can fill your time better when you find a passion. The internet and public services give free education, so it really ain't a case of rich or poor. It's a case of self-motivation and nothing more. Like Billy says, whether you have or you have not wealth, the system might fail you, but don't fail yourself. Just get better.
Get better. Beautiful night out there, isn't it, boys and girls? I haven't seen a night quite like this in 100 years. In fact, this is no night to be inside. Let's turn off our radios.